The talk is on what is Twaji, and rather than just simply say what it is, I'd like to give you some background. And it really has to do with the nature of who and what we are. And what we are is real simple. We are spirit. We are embodiments of a soul. And this soul is of the same material, as it were, as the Lord God. Its origin is from God. It says right out, in the beginning was the Word was with God. The Word is the sound current or the Holy Spirit. So that's what you are. You are the Holy Spirit. You are the sound current. You are created in God's image. Now, thank God, God doesn't look like you. That's a relief, okay? But you're created like him because you're created with the same material that the great oversoul or God has. That's your soul. You see? That's who and what you are, okay? And you're in the body for a very good reason, okay? Now, a lot of spiritual paths teach that you've fallen, you know, and you've sinned and all that kind of stuff, okay? I don't really teach any other path, so I can just speak from the teachings of the path of soul transcendence, which is what I teach, and that is that you're here as a blessing and as an opportunity to remember who and what you are. This is an opportunity. It's not because you failed or fallen or being punished or you're separate from God. It's here as a blessing, as an opportunity for you to remember who and what you are. Okay. And also, let me just say something about facts and information. You know, we live in an age of information. We're in the information age, and we have this plethora of stuff. You know, we have TV that spews forth information. We have computers. We have the internet. We have all that kind of stuff. And that's information, okay? But it gets confused with knowledge. And it's not knowledge. Okay, so some of you are going to hear what Twaji is, and you're going to take it as, okay, I now have another fact, some more information. Some of you are information gatherers. You gather up information, you know? And you just fill that pretty little head of yours. Okay? Which is really interesting, because when we walk a spiritual path, what happens? But we're taught that we surrender, and we surrender, and we surrender the contents of that which occupies us, our thoughts, our feelings, etc. And how do we surrender them? But by loving God. So we empty ourselves. And here we are in this consumer age, and we're filling ourselves with all sorts of information. Okay? And information is just that, it's information. So let me suggest that if you're going to get the information about what Twaji is, be smart enough to turn that into knowledge. Knowledge is having an inner knowing of it, an experience of it, a real experience, so that it passes from just knowing a fact or knowing what this means to really knowing it and knowing it inside yourself. And then let it pass into wisdom. And how does it pass into wisdom? But by calling on it. You know, many of you say, oh, I can't believe, you know, these tapes. I listen to this tape. I've listened to this tape 4,000 times. And every time I listen to it, I don't know where I was the other 3,999 times, because I'm always hearing something else. Okay, well, I guarantee you, Edward is slick and as fast and as sleek as he is, does not slip in the middle of the night and put something on the tape. Okay? He doesn't do that. Okay, but what happens is that the part in you that is really, really present with the tape, that is spirit, you're culling forth and growing and growing and growing, and so you're opening more to the spirit you are, and so you see It's a gurgling of opening up, like the stomach opens up. So and you just call forth that, and you get wiser and wiser. So wisdom is using the knowledge that you have, the inner knowing, and calling upon it, and calling upon it. See? And that's the wisdom of the teachings. The wisdom is because they've been used and called forth and proven. That's the science of this path. Okay, so you're going to get what Tuaji is. And I hope you'll be wise enough to turn that information into knowledge and into wisdom. Use it wisely. Okay? And what is Tuaji? Okay, but Tuaji is the eye of God. Literally. Okay? It's not a figure of speech. It's not a poetic thing. It's not a talisman. You know, when I was traveling in the Middle East, I'd sometimes see it from these people of Middle Eastern descent. You'd see the hand of God, and sometimes they'd be like a little eye. And they'd have these like drawings, or they'd have these jewelry things. And those people who came like from the coast of Aden, or where the Emirates are, they would have major amounts of these symbols, you know, with the hand and the eye. All right, but it's not a talisman. It's not to keep the evil spirits away. All right, but the eye of God is literally that. Okay, in other words, God's watching you. Okay, but what is he watching you for? Okay, but he's watching you as it were with the spirit that he is. Because guess what? You're a part of his body. So the great illusion that mankind labors under is separation. And yet the truth is God's watching you. Okay, but that spirit is the same spirit as in you. Okay, but he's not watching you, you know, to give you a parking ticket, or if you've been a bad little boy or girl. It's not that. Okay? But Tuaji is God's gift. Okay? And listen to this, because it's really important. If you can get the essence of this, you'll gather a lot in understanding. Okay? And then I'll bring forth an experience of it for you. But Tuaji is God's gift of devotion to you. That he is, in fact, devoted to you. He's devoted to you. Think about that. You know, when you walk a spiritual path or you open up spiritually, you're called a devotee. And you grow in devotion and the devotional energy. And I've been in churches, and particularly I'm thinking of one in New Mexico, which is known as a place of miracles. You know, you see all the crutches and the wheelchairs and whatever just nailed on the walls. You know, and you don't have to be within 100 yards of that place, and you could just literally feel all that devotional energy. The love and the reverence that people had and have, and it's in that area, and it's palpable, and you could feel it, you know, it just hits you. Feels kind of nice, you know? And that's a devotion I'm talking about, and some of you in your growth, you have devotion. You grow in loving towards God. And become more and more devoted to him. Not a set of beliefs, you know, not circumstances, not a clergy, nothing like that, but the direct experience. And that's important. The direct experience of God. You become a lover of God. You become a devotee. See, and all I teach is that. That's the only thing I have to give. I only teach loving God. I have nothing else to say. I have nothing else to teach. I just teach loving God, because that's all there is. Okay, and just as we're lovers of God, guess what? That's reflected back to us, as it were, by God. See, because nothing can exist a priori. It has to exist. So our loving God is really a reflection of His loving us. So God's devotion to us, His loving us, is extraordinary. And Twaji is when the soul has the experience of God's direct knowing of that particular soul. So that God's awareness of you as a soul is demonstrated, and it's real. Once again, it's not a symbol, it's not an allegory, I'm not talking poetry here. I'm talking an experience of the soul, where it encounters God's knowing of itself, of that soul. And you see the eye. And when we sit and we do what's called meditation, okay, because there's some, I'll call it meditation because there's some people who are not, or you more used to that word than the word we use. You sit in meditation, you sit in the spiritual eye, okay? And our spiritual eye is one and the same as God's spiritual eye, because it's the soul that comes to know itself, you see? And eventually, the soul moves into the experience of, okay, that's God knowing me. But then guess what? The soul knows that it is divine, and that it is the it of itself, as it were, and comes to know itself directly, see? And usually when that happens, guess what? Even the individual soul, and this is down the line, if you're, you know, I'm just going to throw out a caution. If you mock up this experience, you're going to be in trouble. So don't mock up that you should have this experience, okay? But it does happen, and it is, it's almost like a final approach. And that is that the individual soul loses its individuality in God, that it ceases to exist. It ceases to exist. And you'll find it a little bit in the literature. You'll find it in Eastern thought. It's called the Turiyo state. When you enter the Turiyo state, when the individual soul or the Brahman of itself is gone, that's it. And now, they're not quite dealing with the soul as we speak of it, but that's basically the idea. The idea of individuality is gone. So that the soul, as a unit, separate and apart from God, no longer exists. See? And Twaji, the devotion of God, His gift of devotion to us, His gift of devotion to us, this Twaji, it marks that process, that the soul is coming into knowing itself as soul, and that distinction between the soul and God is gone, and that the illusion we've been living under of separate, like you're sitting over there, and you're sitting over there, and you're sitting over there, and you're sitting over there, you know, and you're this sex, and you're that sex, and you're this color, and you're that nationality, and you're this, and you're that, all that disappears. See? And so does the illusion of the soul as an individual soul. That goes too. So Twaji is that gift of knowing and encountering God's devotion, God's love. And I can just share my experience many, many years ago when I experienced that. I had days where I had that, 24 hours a day where I had that experience. And let me tell you something, I'm surprised I'm not in jail for murder. That I was ready to kill so many people because not one of these people had ever told me that God loves us that much. Nobody. Nobody ever hinted at it. Nobody ever said it. Nobody ever could demonstrate it. But all these people did was demonstrate the opposite, that we were alone, and it was us against the world, and that we were separate from God, and there was such a thing as death that was going to do us in. And all there was in reality was God's love. Now, if you're honest with yourself, and you'll just reference within yourself the times where you really felt devotion, reverence to God, not the God in the world of form, but God beyond form, the nameless one, the unmanifested one. If you could just reference that kind of devotional energy that you had, and that you do have now, and if you could multiply that by a million, you wouldn't begin to get God's devotional energy towards you as a soul. And He's devoted to your upliftment. He's devoted to seeing you home with Him. You're a cell in His body. You're a cell in the body of God. You know, and just like there's an intelligence in the body. You know, you listen to old-time chiropractors. You know, don't get into any of this modern-day mumble-jumble stuff and all that. Just the old, you know, the old guys. And they'll tell you. You know, I don't know what I do. I just adjust. I do a little snap, crack, and pop. And the intelligence of the body takes over. There's an innate intelligence. You know, or you listen to some old-time homeopaths or even some naturopaths, and they talk about, if I can get the body over the hump of its exhaustion, of its illness, etc., etc., then guess what? It'll move to the place where the native intelligence that's in there takes over. It knows what to do. And God's body knows what to do. And we're cells in that body. And He's organizing that. And He's coming, that body is coming into health. And what does that mean? But health has to do with wholeness and oneness. So it's coming into whole, being whole. You know, and you don't see this much in Western medicine at all. You don't see any concept of anything beyond the physical body or how are you doing spiritually. In Eastern medicine, it's a given. You know, how's your relationship with the spirit that you are? And because if that's off, then there's certain conditions that start to manifest. Okay. And Twaji is the setting up on course. We're being put on course. God's putting us on course. And He's lovingly watching us to make sure we're okay. You ever have a baby around? You know, you always have an eye on that baby. You have like three eyes, and even as they get a little older, and toddler and beyond, you keep an eye on them. God keeps an eye on us because we're His kids, and there's that love. And Twaji is that devotion, God's devotion to us. Think about it, that we're loved by God. It's a hell of a thing. You know, today I had a nice opportunity to steal out about an hour of time with my son. We went to the park, and he just wanted to see if some games were being played, where he usually goes to play some basketball, right? So we went and we saw, and their courts were kind of crowded, and I don't know, there may be about 25, 30 kids. And I found myself maybe watching three or four kids. And two of these kids, I couldn't believe. One kid was like 6 or 7, nerdy looking girl with her older brother, 8 or 9, even more nerdy looking, short, stocky, could barely move. Well, man, they got a ball in their hand, and You wouldn't believe it. This 7-year-old girl was shooting threes. From far, I couldn't believe it. So I found myself watching these two. And then in the far court, there was a guy playing really well in a full court game. I found myself watching. So they're like three. And the fascinating thing to me was that, you know, these two younger kids, they were younger. Physically, you wouldn't have thought they were athletic. The way they looked, the environment they came from, their, whatever you want to call it, their nanny or babysitter was sitting right there, you know? And even though kids came that, you know, you knew they came from a culture that really loved basketball and valued it, and they were dressed to kill. Within a few minutes, these kids, they left the court. They were embarrassed by by these kids, you know? And I thought, well, that's neat. You can never tell, you know? You can never judge anything. You can never have any kind of prejudice going on, because who would have suspected? And these kids were good, man. These two kids. 7-year-old girl shooting threes. Her brother would take the ball from the far corner and just go swish. He could barely hold it, you know, swish. You know, and I'm looking, wow, you know, that's incredible. And it was that element that you can't tell. You know, that skills, there was no respecter of person with the skills they had. They had skills, regardless of what they looked like, their environment, or anything else like that. They had skills. And the neat thing, too, is that God's no respecter of persons. He doesn't care what you look like. He doesn't care how much money you have or don't have. He doesn't care where you're from. He doesn't care about the color of your skin. But he cares about the soul. And Twaji is just that. It's his caring and his loving and his devotion. And it's an extraordinary thing. And so I hope you'll take, knowing what Twaji is, and passing it into knowledge, the inner knowing, and having that experience, and then using that experience, and living life knowing how loved you are, and how cared about you are, and how much God wants you operating in his body, as it were, home with him. And that he's devoted to you and your well-being. Think about it. And are you treating yourself as well as God treats you? Okay. What I'd like you to do now is just get quiet. If you'd uncross your arms or your legs, and or your legs. Okay, and what I'm going to do now is I'm going to bring forward that experience. You don't have to do anything. Some of you may have it, some of you may not, and it's okay. You can't force yourself to have it. You can't make yourself have it or do anything. Okay, I'm just going to make it available. Okay, and we start by just calling in the light. Lord God, send us your light. We ask for perfect protection and your grace. Okay, and what I'd like you to do first is just let go of all thoughts, all considerations, all the ways you think you have to do, or whatever you have to do to reach God. Just put them aside, let them go. And now just allow God to be here with you. allow God's love and His grace just to move through you, through all areas of your being, soul, your thoughts, your mind, your emotions, lower consciousness, all parts of your consciousness. Some of you are hungry for more. Okay, and when you can just bring yourself present. Okay, and what'd you have to do for that? Nothing. But that's God's grace. And let me just throw out another caution, that it's important for you to refrain or stay away from setting up where you're going to have this experience, or I'm going to give this to myself. Okay? Because God does as He does when He does. Your job is simply, really, to live in this grace, in this field of action. And it's really as simple as that. Okay, we'll stop with that.